Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now is Kendall Rogers, co-managing editor of D1Baseball.com, and they have LSU at number 11 in their preseason poll. And Kendall, I was just explaining to the audience why I think the expectations for LSU baseball of the Omaha or bust expectation is one that they should rethink, just because the landscape of college baseball has drastically changed, where Louisville was largely never really considered a baseball power, but here in the last decade or so, they have. And other teams are starting to devote resources to – other universities are starting to devote resources to their baseball program.
No, you're right. I mean, I think the expectation at a place like LSU should always be Omaha, but I also think you have to – like you said, you have to realize that times are different than they were in 1996 or 1997. The Coastal Carolinas of the world have ballparks that are just as good or at least close to Alex Box. And, you know, back then, those mid-major programs like that weren't, you know, didn't have stadiums like that. So not only do you have mid-majors who are putting that much money into baseball, you've got programs like Mississippi State, you know, building a cathedral over there. You've got Ole Miss pumping a bunch of money in its ballpark. You've got, you know, Georgia spending a lot of money on a ballpark. And even a place like Alabama that doesn't really care that much about baseball, at least yet. I mean, when they win, they do. But, you know, right now they don't. They even have a beautiful new ballpark. So times are different. So I kind of say it's a mix. I say, you know, obviously you should expect Omaha. I mean, it's LSU. The tradition is there. But you should also realize, hey, when you get knocked out in a super regional like last year, like, is it disappointing? Sure. Is it the end of the world? It's not, because, you know, it's very, very difficult to get to Omaha now. And I think people need to realize that.
Kendall, when you look at this LSU team this year, they've got to replace guys like Antoine DePlantis, Zach Watson, and others, proven hitters. And they've got a couple, obviously, Daniel Cabrera, Cade Beloso, Saul Garza at the plate. But the pitching staff is going to probably have to carry this team for a good while to start the season.
No, you're right. I mean, and I think this is good timing. If, you know, if you're a team that needs to kind of find its bearings a little bit offensively, this is going to be a really, really impressive team from a pitching standpoint, assuming, you know, these guys can stay healthy. You know, Cole Henry last year was phenomenal when he was healthy, but, you know, he was banged up a little bit throughout the year. You know, Landon Marceau back this year. You know, you look at Devin Fontenot. The pieces are there for LSU to have a tremendous season on the mound, and it cannot come in a better time, because I do think the offense, I'm with a lot of people on this, and the offense may not be great to start the year, but I think is a lot of these, you know, guys get immersed into the lineup and things like that with the Cabreras and the Belosas of the world. I do think the offense will end up being pretty solid. I think, you know, when you look back on last year, I really thought, you know, Gio DiGiacomo was a guy that, you know, didn't have great numbers, but, you know, you look at his wiry strength in his frame, and you look at his speed and athleticism, I think he's a guy that's a total breakout candidate. And Saul Garza down the stretch last year, I thought, you know, played about as well as anybody in the country. And so I think the offense will get there, but you're right. The pitching right now is really what I'm kind of hanging my hat on when it comes to LSU. I just really – I love that 1-2 punch with Landon and Cole Henry. And, I think if you can keep guys like Jaden Hill healthy, boy, the sky's the limit for this pitching staff.
Paul Maneri actually praised A.J. Labus and even said during the fall he was probably their best pitcher, and he has him slated to go Saturday. So that would give you Cole Henry, A.J. Labus, and then Landon Marceau, and allow you to have Eric Walker as your midweek starter. There's not a lot of teams in the country that are going to be able to take a guy that was once your Sunday starter and make him a midweek guy.
No, you're right. I mean, you look back at the one of the teams that got to Omaha, and Eric Walker was in that rotation. So it gives you an idea of how deep this team can be if a team that was in Omaha had Eric in its rotation, and now he might be relegated to the midweek starter. And that's not a knock on Eric. It's just a kind of a praise of how good this pitching staff can be. And, you know, A.J. Labus, as you mentioned, is a guy in the past that has shown flashes of being a really good pitcher. And it sounds like he certainly – was impressive in the fall. Sounds like he's been impressive here to start the spring. And I'm excited about this rotation. I feel like every single year, at least, you know, in recent history, I feel like it's like you're looking at the LSU pitching staff and some guys are banged up. You know, some guys are being a little inconsistent, and you know, fans are grumbling about the pitching, and rightfully so. But I think this year, I think people are going to be very pleased with what they see.
In particular, Kendall, a guy like Jaden Hill, who pitched in two games last year, Palmieri said this year he's going to say, he didn't pitch again the rest of the year, but Palmieri said this year the approach with Jaden Hill is he's going to have a script for him as to exactly when he wants him to pitch in the game, regardless of the score. And look, that could change. Jaden Hill, by the end of the season or the SEC tournament, could be in that rotation as well. They just got so much depth. That's something that, that, you know, if they stay healthy, they got 13 returning pitchers, and they do have three lefties, and those are the three new ones. Give me a name, Kendall, of a freshman newcomer that you're really high on for LSU. Or not necessarily a freshman, just a newcomer. It could be a JUCO transfer.
Yeah, you know, I think the kid that I've heard a lot of good things about over the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 months is Cade Doty. He's a guy that's certainly well-documented what he did in high school. And I'll tell you what, he's a big-time bat. And, you know, again, we talked about that offense and, you know, how some guys are going to need to step into that offense and be big-time producers. And he's kind of one of those guys that could be that. So I think that's the newcomer for me that I've had a lot of people talking about over the past few months, and I'm pretty intrigued to see what he can do in year one. We all know it's difficult, whether it's LSU football or LSU baseball. We all know it's difficult to kind of step in there, unless you're Derek Stingley, I guess, on football. But I guess, you know, it's tough to get in there and be just an absolute star from day one. So he's going to take some lumps, but I'm really excited to see what he's all about.
Given the last month and a half of last year with Saul Garza and what he did at the plate, do you think we're going to see him build upon that this year?
I think so, because, you know, I kind of look at players two different ways. There are some players that I see and I go, okay, you know what, he's just hot. Like, he's just finding contact and he's just hitting the ball. I think when you look at Saul Garza down the stretch last year, not only was he making hard contact, but you just look at his approach, especially in that regional and super. He was a guy that when he stepped in the box, he had a plan, he blocked out the noise. And he was very, very selective with his pitches. So that tells me that he wasn't necessarily just hot. He was very much locked in. And so I do think he's going to have a really big year, because I thought his plate approach was totally different. And, you know, I guess there's a chance that he kind of resorts to, you know, not having that good of approach. But, boy, he was so locked in the last season. I don't think it was just a deal where a guy got lucky for a few weeks and just found, you know, the barrel found the ball. I think he just totally transformed his approach. So I'm really excited to see him, because I think when he gets rolling, as you saw in the regional super, you know, hits a double, he's over there fist pumping, getting everybody excited. I think he's a guy that's just a game changer if he can find a way to get on base, you know, with his power and whatnot. So I'm excited to see him. I think he will continue. I don't know if he's going to hit that well, because he was just kind of
unconscious
offensively.
Yeah,
the last month of the season. But I think he will have a nice season. I think he'll hit double-digit home runs. And, you know, I think he can hit between 290 and 310.
Kendall, I learned this today from Palmieri. One of the things that they did this offseason, because they had so many arm injuries a year ago, they have this sleeve now that has a chip in it around the elbow that can kind of – it's the new age analytics where they can read and it basically determines how stressed the arm is and if they should rest the guy for a day, not even let him pick up a baseball, or it gives them an idea of how many pitches that guy should throw. Are a lot of teams around the country using that?
You know, I think a lot of teams around the country are using anything they can, from those kind of sleeves to having a six-man analytical team. Just kind of give you an example of just different things programs are doing. You know, Oregon State this year, they got like a 6 or 7 man analytics team, and what they did is they took like some graduate students who were in the statistics department that were interested in getting in baseball and baseball analytics, and they put them on an analytical team. So, you know, programs like Oregon State has that. You know, Vanderbilt has 3 or 4 people employed to do those kind of things. South Carolina does. LSU has some analytical people. So whether it's analytics in terms of numbers and computers or different things that you can do from a equipment standpoint, teams are doing it, and teams will continue to try it, because technology right now is incredible. I mean, think about if Skip Bertman back in the mid-90s, if you told Skip, hey, man, we can give you some sleeves with some chips that'll tell you, by the way, when your pitcher can't pitch. You know, that's just such a huge advantage. So it's been kind of neat to see all the different technological advances, not only in college baseball, but across sports in general.
Kendall Rogers, co-managing editor at D1Baseball.com here on Sports Talk. And Kendall, Coach Paul Maneri even told me that you can wear that sleeve in a game as long as you're wearing as a pitcher. And you, as long as you're wearing a sleeve on the other arm as well. So they there's a potential that they could get this data live and right there while a game's going on. So I found that
fascinating. That is pretty awesome, actually. Yeah, I had not heard about that, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he told me that. I was like, so you can only use it during practice? And I said, can you wear it in a game? He said, if you wear another sleeve on the other arm. I want to ask you about Daniel Cabrera. And he's one of the veteran holdovers. And I thought at the plate last year at times he looked now, he struggled a little bit, let's be honest. But he's got some juice in that bat. He's got some significant juice in that bat. And Paul Maneri said he's toying with the idea of batting him leadoff. And is that a new thing amongst managers of baseball in general, getting a guy with some pop at the leadoff spot? It seems like it's a new thing.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at LSU's lineup this year, is obviously that's going to be kind of a question mark. It's kind of weird to think of LSU being a question mark offensively, but I think if you're Paul Maneri, you know, you're looking for a guy with A, some athleticism, and B, with some pop. So that eliminates a guy like Kay Belosa, for instance, who has a lot of power, but he's not really a leadoff hitter. But, you know, Cabrera can make things happen from an athletic standpoint, and he clearly has some power. So, you know, it sounds like Cabrera had a nice summer, had a nice fall, and I'm expecting him to have a big year. And, you know, I like the move. I like putting the guys that have a chance to put the ball into the gap or get a triple or things like that. I like putting those guys in that one or two slot. You know, I guess in a perfect world, you'd like to be able to not do that, but I actually kind of like it. You know, if a guy like Cabrera can come up there, put a ball up against the – you know, right center gap, all of a sudden, you know, you've got a guy on second or third right off the bat in that leadoff spot. So I dig it.
Hayden Travinsky is another guy. He's a freshman. He's a backup catcher, works a little bit at first base, but I don't know what your background is on him, but just watching him in BP, man, he's a big old boy, and the ball just jumps off his bat.
Yeah, they're really excited about him. You know, last year I remember – if you watch batting practice, like C.J. Willis was a guy last year, they're like, you're thinking like, wow, this guy's gonna be really good someday. So, you know, they've got the players. There's no doubt they've got the players. And now, you know, here in the next 3 weeks now, we're only 3 weeks away from opening day. It's just about kind of finding a way to put all those pieces together. So, I think it's gonna be kind of neat to see how LSU lines up from an offensive standpoint and kind of how Paul tinkers with that lineup, you know, before conference play, because unlike most seasons at LSU, there are some question marks, and sometimes the question marks don't end up being a bad thing. Eventually, you know, and sometimes you find young guys who maybe you didn't think were ready, like the Travinsky kid, and all of a sudden they go out there and they're a star of the freshman. So should be a lot of answered questions here over the next few weeks.
Kendall, always a good time, man. Thanks for the info and great stuff as always.
Yeah, and here's a little nugget, too, on LSU. I was talking to somebody close to the Astros, and it sounds like they're actually opening the club level because they expect the club level and the lower level to be filled for that LSU-Texas game on Saturday night at Minute Maid Park. So I'm really excited about that one.
That'll be a fun one, that's for sure. Kendall Rogers, co-managing editor.
We'll see you soon.
All right, co-managing editor at D1Baseball.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.